The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
So let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of John chapter 18. I just want to share some truths from John chapter 18 that are really powerful. In John chapter 18, we're just going to begin to read through John 18 here. Thank you, praise team. Great job today. Great job. Thank you. Verse 1 of John 18. Are you studying your Bible every day? Good. You're reading your Bible? Read your Bible. Remember what I told you? Read the book of Psalms. Read a psalm every day. For what? What does a psalm put in you? No. Psalms. Courage. Yeah, remember, we get courage from psalms, right? Then, and you need courage. How many days of the year do you need courage? Every day to face what we're going through. Then we read a proverb every day. What does a proverb give you, Vicki? Then that, of course, a proverb will give you wisdom. And then I've been teaching that what we ought to read something in the red letters every day that Jesus taught or a miracle that Jesus did. And because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So if you read a psalm every day, you'll have courage. If you read a proverb every day, you'll be wise, because that's the wisdom book. And then read something that Jesus said or did every day, and you'll have the red letter teaching, and faith will come for a miracle in your life. Amen. It's really not that complicated. And then pray like a fool and every day till your tongue wears out and it gets sore. John 18:1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. What's the name of that garden that he went to? That's the Garden of Gethsemane, isn't it? How many know what Gethsemane means? Anybody know what that means in the Hebrew or in the Greek here? Or as it means? It means the place of the press. What it means is it's the place where the olives, where there's a lot of olive trees. If you've ever been to the Garden of Gethsemane, it's a garden filled with olive trees, olive plants. And the only way you get olive out of an get olive oil, that's what we're looking for. See, we're not just looking for the olive. The power of that olive is what's in that olive. And the only way to get that oil out of that olive is you have to press that olive. Squeeze it. Push down on it. You almost like put the olive in a vulnerable place. You know what are you really doing to it? You're crushing it. You're crushing it. It makes sense to me that the night that, just before Jesus went to the cross, that he would go to the place where the olive was pressed and crushed and squeezed and pressed down so that what is inside can come out. It would make sense that that would be the kind of garden that Christ would pray in. You know, Christians, we pray, we want the anointing to come out of us. But we don't want to go to the place that Jesus, if it was powerful enough for Jesus to go, I believe that we ought to go. I'm not talking about your life being, that's bad theology would say, well, you mean to say we're supposed to go to Gethsemane and so our life gets all messed up and no, I don't mean that. It just means I want you to go to Gethsemane where you personally can put your heart intentionally in that press so that God can get, can crush out of us the humanity and the flesh part of us. Because what he really wants is the oil that's down on the inside of us. But so many Christians are avoiding, even in their prayer life, they won't go to Gethsemane anymore. Because today is the day of an easy gospel, where there's no sacrifice. Nobody has to pay a price. Nobody has to, there's this gospel of just, you know, be motivated and that's all you need. No, you need more than that. You need, I'm going to say this in the right way. I think you know my whole, the whole part of my theology. No, you need to be crushed. You know, before God gets the best out of me, the parts of me that need to be get out of the way, that's what's the matter. That's the reason you crush the olive. Because the olive itself is in the way of the oil. Even though it contains the oil, you got to crush the olive so that what the olive really brings, the purpose of the olive is that oil, man. And so in Christ we come and we give him our heart. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about car wrecks and disease and all that kind of stuff. That's not the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you put your heart on the altar and you say, I'm the least of these, my brethren. Everybody else is before me. I love others more than I love myself. I came to do the will of God, not for a convenient life. I came to do thy will. Right? That, so, you know, when you say, when you get involved with Christ and you're flowing like that, when the olive press comes on you, man, I don't know about you, man, but I had to die to some stuff. Some flesh. I had to die. I had to get on that olive press myself. The night that Jesus, this night here, he went to the place of the press. Because, and what that represents is, you know, right before he died on the cross was the real press. The cross was the place where he was crushed. Where he was broken and spat upon, whipped. They put that, you know, we make the crown of thorns look like I remember Tiffany for Tiffany's wedding, she had a, what do you call the thing? The flower circle. A flower crown. She had a flower crown. That's how we make the crown of thorns look anymore in our spiritual culture. No. Those thorns were so huge and sharp, and they took that crown of thorns and put them together in a circle, and then they pushed down on that crown of thorns, and those thorns pierced through him and went down inside his skull. I mean, scholars will tell you, When Christ, that's what the picture of Isaiah was trying to portray. When Christ was portrayed when he was on the cross, if we could have seen him, he didn't even look like a human being. He was beaten so bad and pierced through and just, he was mutilated as he hung on that cross. And the cross was the press. We needed not just what he could do for those that were around him there. Man, he needed to get that oil out of himself. The oil of salvation. The oil of healing. The oil of hope. The oil of joy. The oil of glory. The oil of healing of anything that was wrong. That was down inside him. But in order for it to come out, that olive had to be pressed. And he went to the cross. And they beat him and spat on him and punched him. I mean, they were, as he was hanging there, it was hard to determine that he was a human being. But praise God, as he died, the oil in the olive began to flow out. And on the third day when he rose again from the dead, hallelujah, there wasn't a little bit of olive oil coming out of him. It wasn't like a little, we have our little, where's our little anointing oil thing, Curtis? Look at us, bless our heart. I hope you're not, you don't have, I don't have, hope you have, don't have a lot of problems, because we don't have a lot of oil here. Well, I understand. I'm just making fun of our little thing. But on the day of Pentecost, when Christ, after he was pressed, and what happened to him on the cross was one thing, but what happened to him before that? Well, one of his dearest friends, he's got 12 close friends, one of his best friends in his life that traveled with him was supposed to be his trusted, co-laborer, Judas. Judas betrays him. That's part of the press. That's part of the crushing went on before the Calvary. He began to die. The day he got here, man, I'm telling you, he began to die to his flesh. He was, more of him died. And he went on and on. Judas betrays him. And I'm like, what was weird about that? I'm like, well, Judas, if you're going to betray him, don't you? He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. I would be like, if I was Jesus, is that all I'm worth? Maybe you're going to sell me out, but at least make it really expensive. But he cheaply sells him out. Sometimes people will just cheaply sell you out. And man, that hurts. That hurts. Judas used him. Judas used his position. He was the treasurer of the group. And Jesus, you know what Jesus did? He just kept loving him. Didn't he? John 13 says when they were standing on the shore, the Bible says that Jesus stripped himself of his physical clothes and stood there and wrapped himself in a towel. And he began to wash their feet. And it says that he loved them, and he loved them all the way to the end, including Judas that he knew was going to betray him. See, we throw people off our boat if we think they haven't done exactly like we thought they were going to do. Jesus stayed with them to the end, even when he knew they were going to betray him. He didn't care. He still, because he loved them. Judas betrayed him. That was part of the press. It's part of the crushing. Didn't he? I don't know about you, but I'd be like, how many people, if you counted up all the people were Jesus' miracle crusades, there were how many thousands? There were thousands there the day that Jesus fed the 5,000 on the hillside. All those people, thousands and thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in 3.5 years, if you put them all together. And I'm like, you mean the best we could do is we got 4 or 5 people left at the cross? Where's all my helpers? Where's all the people? They liked it when I was taking fish and breaking them and bread and multiplying it. They liked that. Where's all the people when I was healing sick people from daylight till dark? Where is everybody? I mean, where are the lepers that got here? I mean, where's everybody? Listen, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, don't you know that was part of the crushing? Was looking around. Who was at the cross? His mother was there. I mean, your mom, at least she showed up to my crucifixion. His mother was there. John was there. Mary Magdalene was there, out of whom came seven devils. She was thankful. And that's, was that about it? I think there, so Jesus, he had three guys that are left. See, this is how hard it was to get the oil out of. He had three people that are there. Peter, what was Peter doing? God bless Peter. He wrote 1 Peter, 2 Peter. He was the first one called. He was... Yeah, Peter's over behind a tree. He's over with a group. And somebody said, you know, your speech sounds like his. I think you're one of his guys. Peter said, no, not me. Peter's over there denying him. Then says Peter broke into a cursing fit. Maybe he was just trying to show I'm not with him, because he wouldn't do that. And Peter starts cursing and totally denying that he knows Jesus. The other disciple, some of them, it doesn't even say where they were. They were all scattered. That's part of the crushing. If I'm hanging on the cross after coming all the way from glory, Jesus Christ came from heaven. The Bible says he was rich, yet for your sake he was made poor. That doesn't mean with money. That means in his place and what he was doing. He left the Trinity and came and became one of us and empties himself. Philippians 2. He empties himself. He makes himself of no reputation. Helps all these people and then nobody's there. I want to tell you right now, man, that's a crushing. Betrayal is a crushing blow. Especially to Jesus that doesn't deserve it. You mean nobody? I just can't imagine. Out of all these people, and there's three people showed up at the worst time of my life. I'm looking for people that'll stay with you through the good times and the bad times. I'm looking for people that'll stand with you, you know, when things are good or when all hell's breaking loose. But Jesus, who just deserved all allegiance and honor, he's hanging on the cross. He's been betrayed by one of his staff members. All his own team are hiding and denying that they know him, and they aren't there, and they're doubting everything. They're doubting everything that he did because of today. Well, we thought you were going to conquer the Roman government and take over and etc. And it doesn't look like things are going to... I guess I was wrong. I stupidly left my job and followed you for 3.5 years. It's amazing how I hear people talk about their commitment, sacrifice for Christ, like it's almost a curse. It's not a curse. It's a great blessing and privilege. I don't care what price you pay. Jesus died for you. And Jesus is hanging between heaven and earth, and he's hanging up there as an olive. And the press is on, man. You know, when you press something and you put that thing in a press and you push down, you're crushing that olive. You're changing the character of that olive, what that olive looks like. That olive feels like this is its worst day. But the truth is, that's that olive's best day. Because we're now able to get out of the olive that for which it was created. When they pressed down on that olive, Jesus on that cross, he's dying, he's hanging there on the, you know, and the crushing goes on. But a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, that's what I'm saying. This is, don't take this for what happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says Christ the word of the Lord about Christ began to come forth through Peter, the preacher. And that same Peter that denied him that day when he was being crushed, The day, that day, Peter began to preach and prophesy and tell what really happened when Christ was crucified, the day he was crushed. The reason he was crushed, Peter began to prophesy, was because something's coming. Because God's getting ready to do something. Jesus' crushing wasn't in vain. There was a reason. And the reason was, he wanted to take the oil that was in Jesus, the healing balm, the oil of the olive that is representative of the anointing. And he wanted that thing, he wanted everybody, he wanted there to be enough oil to touch everybody on this planet at one time and then some in the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And the Bible says that when Christ died, he was raised from the dead, and he was put at the right hand of the Father, wasn't he? In a seat reserved for the King of all glory. Now you know, woo! All the time when a man of God found the person that was supposed to be the king, it all started a certain way, didn't it? What was it? When Samuel met Saul, he's going to be the king. He's out chasing donkeys. He's looking for his father's lost donkeys. You know, I don't think Saul got up that day and thought, well, you know, I'm going to be the king over all this kingdom. He's out looking for lost donkeys. And all he's going along looking for lost donkeys, and he runs into Samuel. And the Holy Ghost comes on Samuel. And Samuel, the Spirit of God hit him and said, there's the next king of your nation right there. And right there on the spot, Samuel, who a good prophet's always got a bunch of oil. He's always got some olives that have been crushed in the oil that's come out of them. Because he's ready to help somebody. And so every time before they installed the king into his position as the king in Israel, they would pour oil on him. And the Bible says, and Samuel poured oil upon the head of Saul. When later on, you know, when Samuel found David, you know, he poured oil on David. Here's my point. On the day of Pentecost, what Christ died for was the oil that was inside himself to come out. And so Jesus raises from the dead. He dies. He's crushed. He raises from the dead. He's installed. There's an installation service. You know, we had, when President Trump was installed as the new president, there's, you know, it's a big day, inauguration day, installation day. He's going to be the king. Wait a minute. Israel never puts a king in without the oil flowing. I'm going to tell you, I'm in this, man. This is what the day of Pentecost was. We've dumbed it down to speaking in tongues. Are you kidding me? We speak in tongues because we're dumbfounded at the real glory. The real glory is that, see, here's the glory of Pentecost. A king was installed. That's the glory of Pentecost. A king. It's not about, a bunch of people speaking in a weird language. We thought that was cool. Here's the cool part. An olive was crushed on the cross. An olive was crushed and pressed down. And he was betrayed by friends and left and ridiculed and mocked. Pushed down so that every last drop of the oil that was in that olive could come out. He conquers death, hell, and the grave, raises from the dead. There's an installation service with all the pomp and circumstance of heaven. You are installed as the king over all the universe. He's the king. And then all of a sudden the Father said, we need the oil. And they poured that oil upon him. Watch it. Wait, listen to me. They poured that oil upon the head of the king. Amen. If Samuel was going to pour oil on Saul's head, who ended up being a knucklehead, he should have gone back to looking for donkeys. Surely the King of all glory would have oil poured on his head. They anointed him with the oil of the glory that came out of the olive himself. See, here, Christ is both the olive and the oil. I'm telling you what the day of Pentecost is. They poured that oil in heaven. They poured the oil that came out of him as he died on that cross. The olive that was crushed and pressed. The best of what was in that olive. The person of Jesus. And the salvation and hope of mankind. Healing for marriages. Drug addicts. Homosexuals. Everything. They poured, and that oil that came out of him, they poured it on his head. This is the day of Pentecost. And just like Psalm 133 says, that unity is like the oil that's poured on the head of the king, and it runs down his head, and it gets down in his beard, and it gets down on his shoulders, and it gets down on his body. And it gets down there. Listen, we're not doing this oil. It's not like we give you a little rub and touch. They poured that oil on that king, man. When they poured that oil on Jesus and it flowed down, it started, once it started down, I'm going to say it. It got on his body. It got on his body. We're his body. And what the day of Pentecost was the oil. You know what we got on us? They didn't pour the oil on the body. They poured the oil on the head. But it ran down the head and got on the body. And what the day of Pentecost was the overflow. All that oil that was in Christ, there was so much flowing that they poured it on him and it ran down all over his body. And on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people praying in an upper room. They didn't know that all of a sudden they were going to get olive oil soaked in the upper room. And all they could, when that oil hit them, there was a mighty rushing wind. There was a sound from heaven. And what do you do when you're completely dumbfounded? I don't know how to say what just happened. Shondala bakili bo se blegili masataiti. You can't say it with a language. I got to say it with the language of another world. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost is that the oil that was in that olive that got crushed and pressed in Christ, it poured out upon his head and flowed down over us. The day of Pentecost, the guts of the day of Pentecost was that it was the installation and the coronation of a king. That's what Pentecost means. we just got in on the overflow. We just got in on the oil flowing down. When it got down over his head and it got off his head, then it started down on his body. Amen. Then it started up. It's been running. I've been greasy for 44 years. Just call me Greasy Crab. Greasy Jim Crab, man. I've been soaked by the anointing of the power of God since the day that Christ came in my life. And the reason I know that it happened is because I thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for going to the place where you were crushed. So that all that's in you could be stored up and poured out on me the day you were coronated as a king. I want to tell you, I don't care what CNN or anybody else tells you today. I don't care what church doubters and which church leaders tell you the Holy Spirit has stopped being poured out. Whew. I want to say to him, just hug me and get a big dose of this greasy guy here, man. Holy Spirit, you got to be kidding me, man. There's so much oil in Jesus. There's so much more oil in Jesus. There's enough oil in Jesus to take me a lifetime of glory and victory. There's enough glory of Jesus to heal you and to set you free and deliver you from sexual sin or mental sin or whatever it is, man. By the power of God, the day of Pentecost is the coronation of a king. And at the coronation of a king, you pour oil. And the only place you get oil is from a crushed olive. The crushed olive came from the Garden of Gethsemane just before Christ went to the cross. And we just got in on the overflow. But you know what? It's the same oil that got on the head is on us. It's not like, okay, now you're down here. Wait, from the chin down, you get a cheaper quality of oil. We get the same oil that was poured on the head. That's why he calls us the body of Christ that flowed down over it. Doesn't that give a good meaning to the day of Pentecost? That helps me. That's the context of the day of Pentecost. It was the coronation of a king and the outpouring of the oil from his anointing service. And we got in on the overflow. And for 44 years, I've been living in the overflow. Just keep it flowing, man. Let it flow. Let it flow. You know, all of hell has tried to stop me, you, us, every day for every year that I've been a Christian. The devil has tried to stop the flow of that oil that get on my head to flow upon me. He's tried to tell me it wasn't real, wasn't true. I've had people argue with me. Speaking in tongues is not real. I said, I'm like, my pastor used to say, look, man, that'd be like telling me that apple pie's not real and I just had me a big old piece of it and I got it all over my face. All of hell's tried to stop that oil from flowing. People want everything in church except the only thing that matters anymore. That's the flow of the oil's the only thing that can help, that helps us, man. Other than that, you got the best of. It's like the best of CD of a group. That's the best you got. The best of humanity. Who wants that? But when you, that's why I won't stay in strife with anybody. You know why? Because strife is not to get me mad. Strife is to stop that flow of the oil of the Holy Ghost in your life. Unbelief is to stop the flow of the oil. Huh? Sin is to stop the flow of the oil, man. But thank God today, monkey. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that he's on us. The oil's, I'm going to tell you today, the olive has been crushed. I said the olive has been crushed. Say out loud, the olive's been crushed. And the oil is flowing. The oil is flowing on me today. How many could use a good re-pouring of the Holy Spirit on your head and over our... If you need something special today, stand up. Just jump up real quick. Let's just ask God to meet us right here. If you need something big, something powerful, something to deliver you, something... If you need something from inside that olive oil, man, thank God for that olive oil. Thank God that Christ was crushed. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is flowing today. Now, let's just reach out this morning. Let's take our miracle today. And let's take everything that's inside that olive oil. Let's make it our own this morning for the glory of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the olive oil. I thank you for what's in that olive oil. I thank you for the price that Jesus paid for there to be a day of Pentecost so that that king could be coronated. Today I thank you, Lord God, for the oil. Let the olive oil flow today. Let it flow over my mind. Let it flow into my heart. Let it flow into my body for the glory and grace of God. Today, Lord, I thank you for the anointing. And thank you that it's healing my mind. It's bringing me to my place of destiny. I can't get there without that olive oil flowing today. And today I believe I receive, in the name of Jesus, the flow of the olive oil. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the glory. Thank you for the glory. Let's all pray in the Spirit real quick. Let's just do it real fast. Come on. Just for 1 second, I'm going to let you go. Valama se pleidi. Chama kandalama hasana mashatani. Kalama se pleidi andalama se te 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 ai. Yama hasana masi dananai. In the special name, in the name of the King, in the name of the Glorious One. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of the coronated, exalted King that's been inaugurated once and for all at the right hand of God. Thank God for the King today. Thank God for the anointing of the King. Thank you, Lord, that the oil ran down on his body. It ran down on his body, and it's flowing down on me today. Just receive it inside yourself this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name today. Blessed is his holy name. I speak that the blessing of the olive and the oil, let that come your direction today. Whatever it is you need in your life, may God give it to you this morning. May God flow in your heart. May the greatest days of your life happen from this moment forward. Listen, more than any human talking to you or counsel or anything, there's nothing like the power of the oil. Because it came out of the heart of the greatest olive that ever lived for all eternity. In Jesus' name. Say, thank God Jesus was crushed. Thank God the oil is flowing today, man. Did you get the lesson of that truth? That's good. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Thank you this morning. Hallelujah.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.